get them to slow down, not go 100 miles an hour all the time, or is that even possible?
We would say that each player has to bring something to the game, right? Something, and especially if it's unique, it's so valuable. He has that extreme speed, and it's what got him in. There's a tenacity to it. It's not just go fast, but he doesn't go near anybody. He's on the puck, and he's on the puck hard. For not an overly big man, he plays a very intense game. So that's what he does. And what you find, you know, what I like about our room is I think you can have that question with, or that conversation rather, with every player and ask the question, what is it that you do well? And I find on the ice they're focused at bringing that. So Brandon goes every day, every practice, as fast as he can, because it's what he's selling.
Do you marvel the fact that he doesn't get hurt more?
Holy, why would you do that? That's what, come on.
Don't talk about it.
No, ever, yeah. Never.
Just scratch that question off tomorrow.
We can, I'll give you, you know, we'll move on, let you collect yourself, and we'll come back to you.
What can you tell us about the guys who weren't on the ice today, Paul? Nick
Batan has asked for and been granted a personal leave of absence to deal with a family situation, and he won't. There's no real timetable on that. The return, the other non-skating players, it would be all very minor, and we would hope that we may see them all tomorrow or the next day. So minor maintenance, really trying to get ahead of. In Dimitri's case, we knew that around day four or day five, we would pull him from a day, get him feeling good and back out tomorrow. So that's kind of where we're at. Nothing, there's nothing there that's going to be long term.
Okay, was nothing lingering from ice? He was
correct.
By Lowry or
no, he's, no.
Tomorrow, plan for the goaltenders. You said it wasn't going to be Connor going tomorrow, right?
Correct.
In Edmonton. So
yeah, Eric's going. Right? Yeah, Eric's going tomorrow.
And the Lowry line, I think you mentioned.
Yeah,
that
they're in.
Go,
yeah.
Would it be a younger lineup then?
So you'll look at it in each of the first two games, we'd kind of go single lines, and then we're going to alternate. So what we won't do this year is the last game against Jersey won't be our whole team.
Right.
So we always kind of tried to time that. So we're not going to play. 6 and 8 is really unusual. We're not going to play any of them back-to-back. So Lowry goes tomorrow, and then we'll come back. Probably Shifley and Little in that next game, so that we get one of our power play units time on the ice. And then you'll have Lowry Roslovic kind of in that in the other group, and we'll just build the lines out there. So there's lots of games this year for the players trying to make our team. They're going to get lots of time and lots of opportunity just based on the back-to-back.
So that Roslovic line probably goes tomorrow?
Versions of it, right? I'm not bringing Pearl.
On the back,
the Trouba
and Morrissey both?
Correct.
Any other veterans?
Yeah, I can give you the top two or three line. I'm responsible for that part. We'll have 8.
6 days in here or so, what do you sense as far as urgency and the desire to get it?
Well,
compared to other years, or is it always the same?
No. Shifley's line will go 6-7 straight days of practice without a game, right? They would like to start the season yesterday. They would be happy with that. There's competition there, so there's guys that need this training camp and need it to go well. So we've had good pace. The training camps have gotten shorter and shorter, it feels like, over the years, and you've got your block of games, and then they added in 2 days off. So you got a really finite amount of practices that you can get in. That's why we went last year to a veteran younger group and put our guys together so we knew we could get the pace up. You only have a handful of practices, and you start running systems right from day one. I mean, I'm reasonably pleased with where we're at. There are moments in the practices where you're getting excited again because they're driving real hard, and then there's moments in that game where you go, you gotta keep going. You have to go over this again, right? You have to go over right from the basics of the system. So overall, reasonably pleased.
Paul, when you look at other training camps, a lot of teams mix and match. They'll have veteran guys and
right.
junior guys all in
right.
different groups. You guys have a very clear, you look at Group A and Group B,
yes.
and you sort of see there's the NHL group and maybe the closest guys,
right.
and then the AHL and junior guys. So that was something I think you started last year, right?
Like, correct.
Just the mindset between separating the groups in the way that you have?
Well, there's about 3 or 4 different kind of aspects that went into that decision. One was the training camp. Please write this carefully, but the training camp in the past that I enjoyed the most was on the opened on 9/11. And what happened was we were having training camp in Florida, and then so all the veteran guys, the NHL guys, were in Raleigh at the time, and of course nobody could fly after that. So the first 5 days of training camp, it's just the veteran group, and the pace was incredibly high. So you had a group of guys that were trained all summer, and they're not the drills, they know, they don't have to slow down, right? So they can get up to speed. They felt really good. We had a real fine year that year, and as a coach, you're kind of, you enjoyed that process. We just felt last year, and it was a function not only needing to get, we just felt we couldn't take 4 or 5 days to kind of work our way into it. You know, it used to be you'd come in and the teams would scrimmage for 3 or 4 days, and then they cut some guys, and it just, but they had 5 weeks. We used to have 5 weeks of training camp, right? Your challenge was, how do you keep them from getting bored, right? So now we don't have time, and we know a lot of these players. There's not a tremendous number of questions on who the player is and how they would fit, and they're getting exhibition games. So they're going to get their chance in the games. We can change the practices slightly to take more time with the younger players to teach more, where you don't want to necessarily have to do with that top. And you want the heart rates up for a certain amount of time, and you want them to drive. And so that was really why we split the groups.
Do you have to say anything to those guys in Group B who might look at it and say, well, I'm not making the team this year. I'm not even in.
Well, we would like a little deeper or a greater depth of mental toughness than that. If you came and didn't like your group or your line, you went home, we would expect more. But you're having that conversation at some point, right? And it's just as easy for a player, and you're right, like the junior kids aren't probably making the team, unless you're a Nick Ehlers. And we know about you before you get to camp if you're Nick. Then there is a real competition. There's waivers and all the one-ways, all the things that factor in. Not all the jobs are open. We all know that. But we'll find you. If you're having a good camp, you'll stay a little longer. You'll get an exhibition game. And for a lot of these guys, making the team on day one isn't as important as clearly being there at the end. So we can go back to a bunch of guys. You know, Nick Patan started here and then finished the season. The American League, Kyle Connor starts down and finishes up. So it's not the be-all, end-all. You don't get that call, hey, Mom and Dad, I made the team, and I'm here for good.
Right?
That rarely is that call happening.
And like you said, it's not like after Group A's done, you're shutting the lights off and leaving the rink, and Group B just skates
by. I think they get better instruction.
More hands-on. Yeah.
And I also think there's a block in there, they get confident. Nobody wants to hit Blake Wheeler in the ankles with a pass, right? And he scowls at you and he snorts at you. And you'll find the younger guys not showing you what they can do because they're trying to keep – they're not playing. They're keeping everybody else on the ice happy. So this way they push harder, right? They feel good. There's a different kind of relaxation. Then you get in the games. You got to get over that at some point in your career anyway. The games, it's almost easier for them to do that. So that's what we like.
Next for them,
or
do they have another level?
Yeah, I do. So Andrew Cobb for me is faster now than he was last year. That'll change what they're accomplishing. Tanev and Larry, the game has gotten more and more defined. They've got confidence that they can score. Maybe a different style of goal will take them either way, but they do have priority one. They have a lot of respect for going out there and keeping the other guys off the score sheet when they were at their best. And I would say through, you know, three quarters of the year, they did that in the other team's end, right? They're not a rope-a-dope style of defensive line. The size is there. It's really good left-handed face-off men that now can win on their offside. So we've got lots of coverage.
With regard to your roster, 2 years ago, you had a hard time keeping Morrissey out of the lineup during the preseason. Last year, Pullman, same thing. Are you open to that kind of situation happening with somebody that maybe impresses after the first game into the second game and just keeping them in?
Yeah, Stanley and Nico are both playing. If that's a direct answer to that question, exactly. That's what you were looking to say. I liked their game. This is not me being a nice guy. So I look at that group of guys, and we have, you know, 8 guys that you know that have played in the NHL, and we also know that's not been nearly enough bodies for us, right? We've gone 5 deep into our American League system. We need to learn about those 2 players, and we also need them to get them as much time as we possibly can because they're very probably both going to play for us at some time. I mean, they have to go down and they have to kind of, for Logan, it's his first year pro, right? When he makes himself available to come back up, we'll see. But Sammy's now a guy that's on the radar as a call-up guy, so we need them in these games.
You mentioned there are a lot of jobs.
Correct.
But how is the competition for roles and minutes? How is that?
Really fierce. And one game. So I want to answer your question, then I want to qualify everything I've seen one game. So, but we know that Patan and Dano have played in the NHL and played well. Vesalainen's been good in practice in this game, right? When you watch, where you see, you can say you can fit that into an NHL game. How many minutes? I'm not sure yet, but we're still learning. And Brendan Lemieux has been really good as well. There's also some, you know, that next band of players there. They're going to get their crack tomorrow night. And in practice, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to leave a name out, you know. So those other guys, they've been good in this practice. So I am looking forward to them getting in the game and see. So I'd say very stiff competition on that.